Welcome to Tiny Horse Talk, featuring conversations about ponies and miniature horses. You'll find information and education in each episode, along with a little dash of fun. Join your host, Patricia Milligan of Fox Lee Farm Mini Equine Rescue, an organization dedicated to helping the littlest horses find their way home, as we dive into the world of our smallest equine friends. You'll also hear from Lisa Dearson and Julianne Neal from time to time with tidbits and features from the equine media scene. Tiny Horse Talk is a collaboration between Fox Lee Farm, the Equus Film and Arts Fest, and JA Media Productions. And now, let's talk tiny horses. Hello, horse lovers and friends. I'm Julianne Neal of JA Media Productions, and I'll be your host for this episode of the Tiny Horse Talk podcast. I'm here today with two very special ladies, both of whom I believe are tiny horse lovers. I know they are. And in fact, are supporters of all things equestrian. Patricia Milligan, the owner of Fox Lee Farm and founder of their Mini Equine Rescue, and one of the collaborators behind this Tiny Horse Talk podcast, will be joined by our special, very special guest, Mary Phelps. Ladies, welcome to the call. I'm so happy to have the chance to speak with both of you today.
Great to be here.
Patricia, we were talking a little bit earlier, and you mentioned to me that you've been interviewed quite a bit for your work and have been on that side of the camera. So you're seeing a different side of equine storytelling, right?
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. You know, it's a new challenge, and I'm looking forward to it. And it's meeting exciting people like Mary and talking tiny horses, because I've become a tiny horse person in the last 10 years or so. Small but mighty.
And so you became involved with tiny horses when you bought your place in Maryland and had some empty stalls, it sounds like.
My husband had this brilliant idea, probably the last time he'll ever offer up a brilliant idea, that we ought to just build a barn and bring the horses home. Look how much money we'd save. And so, yeah, you laugh. He's not laughing. He stopped laughing some years ago. But we did. We brought our horses home. There were three that were boarded, built a barn and attached indoor. And a friend who was doing equine rescue at the time said, hey, you have some empty stalls. Can you stash these little guys for me for a few days? Because they're on their way to their permanent home. And I thought, well, yeah, because I knew nothing about little horses and couldn't imagine why people had tiny horses. You know, like, what's the point behind them? And up shows this motley crew of very sick little horses. I mean, they were sick. They were starved. And she goes, here, maybe you can kind of help them. It's like, oh, okay. And then she quit taking my phone calls for several days. You know, when I call, like when you come in to get them, right? And then sooner or later, we sort of fell in love with them. And then one was a baby, about 5 months old with his mother. And, you know, she threw a donkey in for good measure, a miniature donkey. So we had a whole crowd. And next thing you know, it's like, oh, you can't take them anywhere. These are my horses now. And then we added another one. And, you know, and then I started doing some rescue work. And then I thought, you know, if we're going to do all this, we may as well actually become a real rescue. And so we became a real rescue, and we've been actively working with taking in minis. We take in minis that are like last chance minis, ones that really don't have opportunities. We take them in when they're feral, when they're have serious medical issues. You know, people don't really want feral sick horses to adopt to give to their kids. So those little guys have to go somewhere. We take them in, we rehab them, and we adopt them out. We've had some come in that have gone off to do pony parties, dress up as unicorns and go off and do pony parties. And they came in absolutely flipping wild to our farm. And so we work with them, we educate them, we get them skills and manners. And actually, we teach them, a lot of them, to drive. We start them at least on long lining. And then an awful lot of them need being able to pull a cart, because then you're giving them a job. And people like that, and they have a skill, and it makes it easier to hone them at that point.
Mm. Well, you're right. I think the hard part is taking in those feral ones and the ones that aren't so cute and
The ones that look like they were put together by a committee that didn't know what a horse was, and everybody took a part to design it, and they stuck it together. Mm. Yeah. All sweet, all of them.
Definitely. Well, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but there's definitely a difference between minis and ponies. And I want to hear a little bit more about that, but I know you're as pleased as I am to be speaking with our special guest today. Mary Phelps is a tremendously talented and respected equine photojournalist with over 30 years of experience in the industry, establishing horsedaily.com, I think it was in 1997, continuing with her business, Horse Daily, which she provides training tips, wellness advice, general promotion of the equine industry.
a lifelong equestrian and general promoter of all things horse. She's an FEI three-star athlete, which I think is so impressive. Mm-hmm. And she now manages world-class driving ponies for combined training at the highest level. So Mary, how are you today?
I'm great. And thank you so much for having me here. It's really fun doing these things and sharing the story of how things evolved with my ponies, not minis. Right. Sometimes people go, oh, are they minis? And I'm like, no. You know, to me, they're huge, you know, because they have such a big heart and they're just so talented and so strong and brave. You know, I just love them. Can you tell?
Definitely. Well, and you've had so much experience in the equestrian world. How did you go down that pony path in the beginning? Yeah. Was you always interested, or was there something special that happened?
You know, that's a good story. Of all the sports I've covered as a journalist, I've always been enthralled with combined driving. For 35 years. And did it, you know, covered it in Europe at Aachen and the World Equestrian Games. The very first World Equestrian Games was in Stockholm. And just something about the clanking of the hardware and the sound of all those hooves going at the same time. And it just really enthralled me. And then I did work for a time as a groom on the harness track. And that's actually where I met an old timer who was a photographer. And that led me into my whole career. So the ponies, I had, you know, thought, oh, I can be a photographer and do all these horse shows, and that'll help me support owning a horse, which is what I really want. You know, I just really want to be able to ride or drive. But that kept me on the road all the time. It really didn't work out, moving back and forth from the north to Florida and all of that. So finally, I bought a farm in South Central Kentucky with a lot of land. And I said, now I can finally do it. And my a friend of mine had a pony that little Shetland named Buddy. So that was my first foray. And the same friend, her name is Johnny Robb. She's well known in the industry. She's a PR person. She said, you know, Mary, I have these really two nice Shetlands. They're paints and I just don't have time for them, and they're a little hot, and I don't know, you know. And she said, could you advertise them for sale on your website? And horsesdaily.com has a horse market section. So she sent me the ad, and I said, I want them. And so we did a little finagling and I got them. So I got Al Capone and Bugsy Maloney, and that's their registered name with the American Shetland Society. They're registered American Shetland ponies. So they're the classic American Shetland, which is a cross between Shetland and Hackney. So anyway, I bought them, and they were 4 and 6 at the time. And that was the beginning of an amazing journey, you know. So, and since then, I've added 2 more. So what happens is they're so unusual, you know, their color and all of that. I've got the little briars here. Their paint, their buckskin, black and white. And I would have somebody say, you know, I know where there's a pony that looks just like yours. So I acquired Kimba, who had been at the Kentucky Horse Park. And she had been there. She was a rescue. And she was there for about 2 or 3 years. And she wasn't exactly petting zoo quality. And I said, good, you know. So yeah. I ended up getting Kimba. And then about 3 years ago, somebody said, I know where there's a pony that looks just like yours. And that was a pony in Aiken. And literally, I mean, my husband went there. I was already settled in Kentucky. And my husband was driving through with a trailer and sent me a video that was maybe 30 seconds long. And he had a heart on his forehead. And I said, put him on the trailer. Let's see what happens. Now I have four of them, and they're, and I'm just beginning to get into driving four in hand, which is really cool.
Yeah.
So they, and, so anyway, that's how it all started. And, I started competing, and, Chester Weber, who is our top athlete, top driver in the United States, was at a show, and he was actually judging. And he said, you know, why don't you enter these ponies at Live Oak, which is his show in Ocala, the best, most amazing event in the country for combined driving in the United States. And I said, well, we're just preliminary level. Do you have preliminary division? And he said, no, your ponies can go intermediate. So I said, okay. And we stepped it up, and we did our first Live Oak, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago. And then we stepped up to advanced, and in 2019 qualified to compete for the United States at the FEI World Driving Championships for Ponies. So that was in 2019. And that's a whole nother segment.
Well, you mentioned that. I mean, you went and were quite successful winning a gold medal in the cones division or cones category or whatever. I mean, how do you decide which of the categories to go, or phases, I guess it's called, which of the phases to go in, or do you do all of them? I'm not very familiar with combined driving.
No, that's okay. And thanks, because it's a great opportunity to explain the sport. The sport of combined driving was, you know, started by Prince Philip when he was the president of the FEI. And he was getting to the point where he couldn't play polo anymore. And of course, his daughter, Anne, was a 3-day event rider. And he said, you know, we can do the same thing in carriages. We can have dressage. Then we do a marathon where we, you know, negotiate obstacles. And then the final phase, which would be the equivalent to, you know, show jumping, is the cones. So the cones course is laid out with 20 cones that you have to, only an hour to walk the course before the competition begins, and all kinds of twists and turns and everything. And so that's the final phase. So you do all three phases, just like in the 3-day event. But when you compete pairs, I was in the pony pair division, you know, with two, you bring three. So you bring three ponies and you're able to switch them around. So if you have two ponies that are better in dressage, you do that. And we did Bugsy and Al in the dressage. And then the marathon, I brought in my little mare Kimba and Al, and we did the marathon with them. And then we did, it was Kimba and Al again in the cones. So we have, dressage has always been my biggest challenge. The ponies are hot and they're small. So to get them to show a nice rhythm with their little legs and all of that sometimes is challenging, but I love dressage and love the challenge. So we did okay in the dressage. I mean, for us, we did okay. And then the marathon, my trainer, who I owe everything to, Bram Chardon, who is one of the leading drivers along with his father, Icebrand, in Europe. So we went and trained with them for 3 months. So Bram guided me the whole way. And he was my navigator. So in the marathon, you have a navigator on the back of the carriage. And they lean and they, you know, when you're making sharp turns, they keep you from flipping over and different things like that. Well, he was my navigator. So we had a beautiful marathon and moved up to about the middle of the pack. And so I was feeling pretty good. And then the final day was Cones, and I had my husband on the back with me. And Wayne Humphreys. And you're finally allowed now to have your groom on the back talk to you, which is helpful, you know, to remember, go left here, go right there. And they can keep an eye on the clock and tell you if you need to speed up. So Cones, you have to be fast within a certain amount of time. And there's balls on all of them. And you have about this much on each side of the wheels. So we just, and my ponies were wild going in the warm-up. I mean, especially the mare, just leaping all over the place and running over the cones in the warm-up. And and Bram was just standing there looking like there's nothing wrong. And I was just like, well, you know, well, let's just do the best we can. We went into that arena. And everything clicked. And it just, we started off, and with my ponies, they're so small that I have to canter the whole Cones course to make the time. So we had, by the way, the smallest ponies in the entire Pony World Championships. And there is about 90 entries together. Yeah. So there are three divisions, single, pair, and four in hand. So we went in and we're going around the course, and there were a lot of sharp, twisty, turny turns, which gave us the advantage because we were small, right? Mm-hmm. They were small ponies. And I kept thinking, you know, I haven't heard anything hit yet, you know? And I'm like, whoa. And I haven't had very many clean Cones courses up until then. And then at one point, you know, out of the corner of my eye, I wasn't seeing the ring crew getting up, you know, to go put balls back on the cones that you've just knocked down. And I'm like, well, you know, nobody's going to pick up any balls yet. And so then finally we get about 2/3 of the way through. And my husband said, speed it up, you know, for the time. And we galloped across the arena to the final combination and 17, 18, 19, 20, and went flying through. And I heard the announcer say, and Mary Phelps, clear. I had a little bit of time. I was 19th at that point out of 38, right? There were a lot more to go, including the top 10 drivers in the world. And I was very proud. I said, We had a good Pony World Championships. You know, I think I made my country proud, and I'm proud, and I made my trainer proud, which is the most important, you know, because Bram and the Chardon family did so much for us. And so I even went back and started packing, you know, the trailer. And I thought, you know, I'll go out and maybe my name is still on the top of the leaderboard. That will be a cool picture, you know, Mary Phelps with the American flag and everything. And it still was on the top of the leaderboard. Then they had the final 10 go after the lunch break. And I said, I guess I better watch this. And every single driver, you know, was either slow or had a ball, and it's rare in a world championships or a high level FEI advanced championships to have more than one or two double clears. It's rare, you know, that's what the course designers aim for. It's hard. So anyway, finally, the top rider went and he had a ball, and Bram and I looked at each other and I'm like, I don't believe this. We won the cones division of the FEI Pony World Driving Championships.
Wow.
It was, and we got on the podium. We were there for the awards ceremonies. We got up on the podium, and my husband, and I do want to say that I'm older, quite a bit older. I was at the time 68, smallest ponies, and I was the second to the oldest driver in the whole competition. And my husband is older than me. So we're standing there and we're looking at the podium, right? These big steps that you've got to get up, and especially for first, and the flags are flying and the FEI TV is running. And my husband said, Mary, I might have trouble climbing up that step. And I went, oh my God, I didn't think of it. Me too. But we made it up to the top, and it was incredible. It was just, you know, an experience of a lifetime for sure.
Yeah. I've had chills the whole time you've been telling that story.
Let's take a quick break from the podcast and talk a little bit about one of our sponsors, Fenwick Equestrian. I'm here with Bruce Anderson of Nature's View, and we're going to talk about Fenwick's calming mask. Bruce, can you tell us a little bit about why you enjoy using that with your horses?
Well, to me, the first thing is what it does for me. When I put the mask on the horse, I feel that I have done everything I can do at that particular point to help the horse. I believe in the work that I do, it's all about getting the head. For everything that's sort of important to the horse is around the head. So by wrapping this around his face like it wraps, it almost creates this pressure. And in so doing, to me, letting the horse know that, look, see, you're okay. That's one. Two, when I put it on, it's letting the horse know that we're going to go to work. I just feel that you sort of are going into starting a work day with the horse in a frame of mind of success.
Just to point out, the masks are approved for use by the Jockey Club for thoroughbreds in the racing industry, as well as show jumping and all sorts of other uses. Find out more at fenwickequestrian.com. Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Julian.
And I do have to give credit also to my sports psychologist. So it was, I mean, I worked on a lot of things, you know, and I did hypnotherapy, and I mean, it really, really helped, because I wanted to enjoy it, you know, and I didn't want to hurt my, you know, with, you get nerves, right? And so it's kind of like, I think, you know, what was I thinking? Oh, UPS. Amazon Prime is on the coming to the doorstep.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was really, you know, just wonderful. And it's a great experience. And you can do it. You can do it. And these ponies, their sound, their, you know, small, I mean, the ponies are, you know, Shetlands used to pull coal out of the coal mines in Kentucky. I mean, they're strong and they're brave, and they just, and they're sound and healthy. You know, I mean, they have, I've knock on wood, you know, had never had a problem with them soundness wise. And they don't even wear shoes. I mean, they go compete barefoot. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to be said. Having ponies and you may agree, is it's kind of like closer to having dogs, I think. Yeah. Then,
Patricia, is that the same for you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I actually bring mine in the house.
Yep. I've done it too. Yep.
Patricia, you talked about the ponies and the minis and the differences. What do you see as, what are the differences actually?
Well, they're the size for sure, because minis are smaller than the ponies. But the attitudes are the same. Minis, all the ones I've had come through have been brave, self-confident. They tend to regard things as challenges as opposed to deterrents. On my farm, there's one hot wire to keep my big horses in place. I've got like 9 plus an elephant fence to keep the minis from going through, because they look at it as, oh, we can get through that. Just watch. And they're very confident, very happy. Interesting. It's interesting. And because I have so many, I get to watch herd dynamics in a way that's really interesting as you watch them interact with each other and then come and interact with you. And they, you know, even the ones that start out feral end up wanting to be curled up on your lap and engaging. And it's different. I have big horses and I have these little horses, and the difference is really in personality and attitude. Is just quite remarkable. But I did want to ask Mary a question, because you're about the same age as I am. And I grew up in the time of Thelwell ponies, right, where you always see these little Shetlands pictures looking like lawn darts. And you'd always hear this, you know, tell a gelding, talk to a stallion, negotiate with a mare, and then pray if it's a pony. So, and you know, until I got my small ones, I always thought that to be absolute God's truth when it came to ponies. So have you had any of those, oh my God, moments with what was I thinking when I got into ponies, where you've had that as a truism? I'm sure you've probably had a cringeworthy moment or two where you thought, oh my goodness, what was I thinking when I did ponies?
You know, no, because I'll tell you, but I do use that expression. It's normally when I'm at an event with my ponies and it's right before the marathon and I've got 7 obstacles to negotiate. I've got a navigator on the back with me. I've got a couple of fire-breathing dragons in front of me. I'm in the starting box. And that's when I say, what was I thinking? And so that's when I say, what was I thinking? But I just love them, you know, and I've learned how to be patient. Yeah. They've taught me a lot. And they're, like I said, the dressage has always been the biggest challenge. And you know, I didn't start driving until I was 57 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, I dabbled, you know, I'd ridden, I'd done dressage and a few things, but never competed or anything like that. But I was, did benefit, you know, from all the great trainers that we have in this country. Mm-hmm. And I took lessons all the time, which I really emphasized is so important when you're getting into driving, to not take it for granted, because when accidents happen, they're bad accidents. Yes. And you have to be really careful. And so, but it's just there, and they're all characters, and they're all different. You know, I guess it's just like if you had children, which I don't, but yeah, you know, they're all different. They all look sort of like the same, but they all have different mm-hmm. personalities, and the mare will challenge the mare. It's like my trainer that I work with now, Thorsten Zarembowitz. We were driving along, you know, I said, you've got to see Kimba, to, you know, wait until you see this, you know, I've got her going really good. And then he said, yes. I said, you know, I'm Kimba's biggest fan. And he said, sometimes you're Kimba's only fan.
That's pretty bad.
But Kimba is a gold medal pony. And there's not that many of them. There's not that many U.S. drivers that have won an individual medal in a world championships. It's very, I think there's only a handful, and that it happened to us, is kind of a miracle, but it's also the result of dedication and good training and going with the best situation that we could have ever been in, being at the Chardon stable for 3 months. They were in the Netherlands, you know. So
Mary, when you showed up with your tiny ponies, because they are small compared to the other ponies,
they are.
How did people react? Did they look at you like, "Oh, who is this crazy lady with these individual horses?"
You know, I'm going to be very honest. I got that reaction more when I started competing with them here in the United States. Okay. I really did. You know, there was sort of we did move up the ladder, and I did qualify to compete in 2019. And it's like, hey, I qualified. The good news in driving is there's not a lot of people that do it at the top. You don't have a lot of competition in this country. So I was only one of two pair drivers that did qualify. Okay. The other one chose not to go. But I qualified. And then, it's sort of a, they were, and but then when we got to Europe, people loved them. I mean, I would be at a show and drivers would stop and just look at them. And even I felt the judges and the officials had a lot of respect for them. And I love seeing the photographs with the judges sitting in the judges' boxes when we're driving, because they're all smiling.
Oh.
And ponies, they make people smile. Mm-hmm. You know, they really, really do. And so I really felt like that. I felt sort of vindicated, I guess, you know, by going there. But there's an attitude in Europe that in the horse world and in the driving world that is they just have a lot of respect. And there are quite a few smaller ponies that compete, especially in the multiples. Okay. So pairs and four in hands are smaller. And the smaller ones are usually the ones that do well in the cones, especially.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway,
how did they handle the overseas travel?
Like a piece of cake. It was, I ship with Brooke Ledge, who were absolutely fantastic. They have now air division, and handled everything from when we left here to getting to Atlanta, which is where we loaded the ponies. They go into a container. And the container is lifted up into the cargo. And it's not just four ponies. It's also two carriages, six harnesses, all the equipment. I even brought a bench over that was also a trunk, and bags of equipment and weight, you know, that all fit on a big pallet. So you have to bring that too, right? And then, and it was a cargo plane, and I loved it. The name of the plane was called Challenge Accepted. So I thought that was a good sign.
Perfect. That's perfect.
And so you put them in, they're in the, down in the, you know, I rode along with another woman that was shipping ponies and a groom that works, you know, for Brooke Ledge and the pilots. I mean, we had the whole front. That was it. We were the only people on the plane. And then we would go down and check on the ponies. And of course, they're in these stalls where normally a horse will be hanging his head over. And they were like, you could see their noses reaching up. But I recorded all of it. I have videos and photos, and we're in the process. We are going to be making a production of the journey. So we finally, I got a producer and we've started putting it together. And I think it will be fun for people to see how the whole thing actually happens. Four ponies on a plane.
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
Such a great story.
For more exciting content, tune in to Winnie Tales, Horse Stories, Pony Legends, and Unicorn Yarns, featuring the work of international equine clinician Bruce Anderson. You'll find these podcasts and more at equusfilmfestival.net or on any of your favorite podcast directories.
Thanks.
Yeah, great story.
You must have an incredible team of people to with the support to even get there to go. I mean, it sounds like a wonderful group.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to bring that up because I do. You know, my husband, who has competed in two pony world championships years ago with his late wife, the pony's name Stephen Oak Park Bouncer, and he actually won the whole thing in 2002.
Wow.
He was the first U.S. Driving pony to win a gold medal. And he competed with Prince Philip. Prince Philip was in the same competition with his four in hand. So he knew the ropes. So he's like the manager. And then I have a great team here in Florida. And when we went over, the Chardons kicked into gear and they have it down to a science. You know, they just this past weekend went from to Hungary to Budapest, which is a 2-day trip. So it's a 2-day trip from the Netherlands to get there. And Bram and his father Icebrand both compete a four in hand horses. So you have to bring for each four in hand 5 to 6 horses per team. Yeah. So they have it down, you know, and they took really good care of us, but we worked hard. And then a wonderful friend, April Hardiman, who had worked for me a few years before, her husband was stationed in the army in Germany. So she said, I think I'll come down and watch you. And I said, why don't you come down and work? I could use a groom. Yeah. So she came and groomed, and she had the experience of a lifetime to do that. And, you know, and then we joined up. There was one other U.S. competitor. So we had our own little, you know, our camp area at the place too. So it was, yeah, I mean, it was expensive. We got a lot of donations. I did a fundraiser, and the United States Equestrian Federation had a budget for us, and that helped. And then there was my 401k.
Oh, sadly, in the horse world, I think a lot of us know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Who's going to retire anyway, right?
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Tiny Horse Talk. Tune in to episode 3 for the second half of our conversation with Mary Phelps. This episode of Tiny Horse Talk was brought to you by JA Media Productions, the Equus Film and Arts Fest, and Foxley Farm Mini Equine Rescue. Looking for more exciting equine content? Visit jamediaconnections.com to find links to Winnie Tales, Horse Stories, Pony Legends, and Unicorn Yarns, Brook USA on the Road, AOS Stakeholder Storytelling, and the Equus Film and Arts Fest podcast. You can also visit equusfilmfestival.net for more information about equine films, podcasts, art, and literature. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Tiny Horse Talk.